C3 Radio aus dem Zentrum für internationale Entwicklung.
So, today's webinar was jointly organized by the BIDC, the Austrian Foundation for Development Research, OFSE, and the Chamber of Labor Vienna.
So hat Martina Neuwirth vom Vienna Institute for International Dialogue and Cooperation, kurz VIDC, am 9. März 2021 die Teilnehmerinnen der Online-Veranstaltung zum Thema COVID-19 and Global Vaccine Inequality – Views from the Global South begrüßt. Denn Corona beschäftigt auch 2021 die ganze Welt. Nach der raschen Entwicklung von Impfstoffen geht es jetzt um die gerechte Verteilung der Impfstoffe. Die Veranstaltung wurde von der Arbeiterkammer Wien, der Austrian Development Agency ADA, dem VIDC und der ÖFSE organisiert. In der heutigen Ausgabe von C3 Radio berichten wir darüber. Es begrüßt Sie Jürgen Planck. Rund ein Jahr nach dem Ausbruch der Corona-Pandemie werden die ersten Impfungen gegen Covid-19 verabreicht. Die Pandemie betrifft zwar alle, aber auf jeweils verschiedene Weise. Die reichen Länder im Norden, rund 13% der Weltbevölkerung, haben sich mehr als die Hälfte des Impfstoffes gesichert. Die USA und Kanada könnten die Bevölkerung gleich mehrfach impfen. Dan Ovala, der Koordinator des People's Health Program in Kenia, hat auf die ungleiche Verteilung von Impfstoffen hingewiesen. Er fordert, Zitat: "Wir müssen unbedingt klar machen, dass Gesundheit ein öffentliches Gut und ein Menschenrecht für jeden Menschen ist." Zitat Ende. Ovala fordert, dass der Patentschutz für die Impfstoffe zum Teil aufgehoben wird, damit auch ärmere Länder Impfstoffe kaufen und vielleicht sogar produzieren können. UNO-Generalsekretär Antonio Guterres hat in Bezug auf die gerechte Verteilung von Impfstoffen vom ersten großen moralischen Test dieses Jahres gesprochen. Denn es darf nicht vergessen werden, Impfungen müssen für die gesamte Menschheit zur Verfügung stehen, um die Pandemie einzudämmen. Corona ist eine globale Krise, die nur global gelöst werden kann. Demgegenüber steht der sogenannte Impfnationalismus, den es sogar in Europa gegeben haben könnte. Frankreich soll den Impfstoff eines französischen Pharmakonzerns gegenüber anderen Herstellern bevorzugt und dadurch einen Impfengpass mitverursacht haben. Der Zugang des globalen Südens zu Impfstoffen war daher ebenso ein Aspekt der Online-Veranstaltung wie die Frage, ob Patentrechte kurzfristig ausgesetzt werden könnten, um die Produktion und die Verbreitung der Impfstoffe zu beschleunigen. Das Framework, in dem das möglich sein könnte, ist das sogenannte TRIPS Agreement der World Trade Organization, WTO. Das ist ein Übereinkommen über handelsbezogene Aspekte der Rechte des geistigen Eigentums. TRIPS steht für Agreement on Trade-Related Aspects of Intellectual Property Rights und soll sicherstellen, dass die Maßnahmen und Verfahren zur Durchsetzung der Rechte des geistigen Eigentums nicht zu Schranken für den Handel werden. Immerhin, der COVAX-Initiative der WHO haben 165 Länder zugestimmt. COVAX steht für COVID-19 Vaccines Global Access und sieht eine faire und gerechte Verteilung von zugelassenen Impfstoffen vor. In den einzelnen Ländern sollen bis Ende 2021 2 Milliarden Dosen Impfstoffe eingekauft, fair verteilt und an die am stärksten gefährdeten 20% der Bevölkerung verimpft werden. Die Veranstaltung am 9. März 2021 wurde von ÖFSE-Direktor Werner Ratzer moderiert.
The whole issue of vaccine nationalism, of access to medical treatments, is of urgent topicality in my point of view. So I think the whole event today is very much responding to actual problems. We'd like to make a small contribution to advancing the debate.
Die zwei zugeschalteten Expertinnen waren am 9. März Carlos Correa und Fatima Hassan. Der aus Argentinien stammende Correa ist der Executive Director des in der Schweiz ansässigen South Centers. Fatima Hassan ist eine südafrikanische Anwältin für Menschenrechte und Mitbegründerin der Health Justice Initiative und wird im Laufe der Sendung über die Impfsituation in Afrika berichten. Anfang März 2021 wurden ja die ersten Impfdosen nach Ghana und Südafrika ausgeliefert. Eingangs geht Carlos Correa auf Patentrechte ein. Moderna, einer der Impfstoffhersteller, habe, so Correa, rund 250 Patente im Zusammenhang mit dem eigenen Corona-Impfstoff angemeldet und bei anderen Herstellern habe es bereits Rechtsstreitigkeiten gegeben. Patentrechte könnten ein Hindernis bei der Herstellung und Verteilung der Impfstoffe sein, sagt Correa und gibt zunächst einen historischen Rückblick bis ins 19. Jahrhundert.
In the area of copyright, for instance, the United States, they rejected copyright protection for foreign authors. They only granted protection under copyright to nationals, with the idea that this would allow the distribution of good but still cheap books and improve literacy in the country. So they denied copyright for foreign authors with a national policy in order to increase literacy. In Europe, interestingly, many countries did not grant patents for pharmaceuticals until, for instance, the case of France or Germany, until the 60s. Spain and Portugal only granted patents for pharmaceuticals, including, of course, vaccines and medicines. In 1995. So in Europe, there was also a situation which actually started with a French law in 1844, according to which medicines, pharmaceuticals, were not patentable. And the very reason for this is that medicines were considered a good, very different from other commodities, which has to do with the life and health of people. And therefore, in Europe, many countries, as I mentioned, did not grant patents for pharmaceuticals. And the same situation was present in many developing countries, including India, Brazil, my own country, Argentina, that followed the French approach. They did not grant patents for pharmaceuticals. And then this allowed competition to take place and therefore low prices to be available for people in those countries.
Das habe sich dramatisch geändert, sagt Correa.
In the context of WTO, a new agreement was established, the so-called TRIPS agreement, the agreement on trade-related aspects of intellectual property, that brought about a paradigm change in relation to the protection of pharmaceutical products.
WTO-Mitglieder, rund 160 Länder, mussten fortan Patentrechte für Medikamente vergeben. Eine Firma, die das Patent auf ein Medikament besitzt, wird zum legalen Monopolisten und kann dadurch auch den Preis diktieren, führt Carlos Correa aus und berichtet von einer Initiative aus Costa Rica zum Teilen von Wissen und Technologien in Bezug auf Corona-Impfstoffe.
In the case of COVID-19, this impact is felt in particular because of the lack of a willingness of the companies to share the technologies. Although there have been some initiatives, as you may know, for instance, the CTAP was an initiative launched by the president of Costa Rica in order to create a pool under the auspices of the World Organization for the companies to share the technologies and then increase the manufacturing capacity, which is needed. Without increasing manufacturing capacity, it will not be possible to cover the world population under vaccination during the current year.
Der Vorstoß aus Costa Rica sei bei den Pharmakonzernen nicht gut angekommen, sagt Correa, und bringt HIV-Medikamente als ein historisches Beispiel dafür, wie Patente den Zugang zu erschwinglichen Behandlungen verhindert haben.
Some clarifications were made in the context of WTO. One of these clarifications was important to mention is the so-called Doha Declaration on the TRIPS Agreement on Public Health, which was adopted by the ministers in that WTO ministerial meeting in Doha, which indicates that the TRIPS agreement should not be an obstacle for access to medicines.
Well, thank you, Carlos, for this first intervention and for giving us this overview on the history of intellectual property rights, which obviously is a very comprehensive topic, which you had to pass through in 5 minutes. But I think it is important to understand that the current system that we have at this moment and that was instituted 25 years ago is rather peculiar in historical perspective, given that even in European countries, up until the second half of the 20th century, patent protection for pharmaceuticals has been rather the exemption than the norm.
Werner Ratzer erteilt das Wort an Fatima Hassan. Auch sie beginnt ihren Keynote-Speech mit einem historischen Rückblick auf die Versorgung mit HIV-Medikamenten in der Republik Südafrika.
At the height of the HIV-AIDS crisis, we had about 8,000 people a day dying while life-saving ARVs were actually available in developed countries. In my own country, we were part of a social movement that we were trying to address access to ARVs, where about 600 people a day were dying at the height of the crisis.
Wegen des massiven sozioökonomischen Impacts von Covid-19 sei es ziemlich bald klar gewesen, dass öffentliche Gelder in die Entwicklung von Impfstoffen investiert werden müssten, sagt Fatima Hassan und berichtet in der Folge von den Initiativen People's Vaccine und Free the Vaccine. Dahinter steht die Idee, die Patentrechte kurzfristig auszusetzen.
One of the key arguments that we as activists are making is that this is the people's vaccine, because actually there's been, you know, so much of public investment and support into accelerated vaccine research, and some of these vaccines have actually already received emergency use authorization. And so you now have, for example, the African Union, all its member states coming out in support months after South Africa and India actually first led with the TRIPS proposal in October, indicating support as at the end of February 2021 for the TRIPS waiver for the duration of the pandemic for certain technologies and only on, you know, up until global herd immunity is reached, so not asking for a permanent waiver at all.
Dann kommt Fatima Hassan auf die Impfsituation in Südafrika und die Preise für Impfungen innerhalb von COVAX zu sprechen.
And the situation that we're facing, like I said, is one of a crisis point. We've got 75% of the vaccines of available supplies that are already out there administered in 10 wealthier countries. In 130 countries, according to the WHO, there's only been zero or a handful of shots. In my own country, less than 50,000 healthcare workers have been vaccinated through a Johnson & Johnson clinical trial and study. When you say this to people, the usual answer will be, but there's COVAX. And the problem with COVAX, which was meant to be this voluntary mechanism to address equity for low and middle income countries and to share supplies with philanthropic support, as well as some elements of self-financing, is that it's a voluntary pooling mechanism, so there's no compulsion on companies to join it or on governments to join it. The Biden administration only joined when he was elected. The Trump administration, for example, didn't want to be part of COVAX. They have a tiered pricing model, so there's three different prices depending on your economic classification. You've got to be self-financing if you regard it as a middle-income country such as South Africa. So we, even though we have an inequality and a hunger crisis and we have an austerity budget at the moment, we actually don't have a lot of money because of a number of reasons, including corruption. We have to self-finance our participation.
Auch Kanada bekomme aus dem COVAX-Programm Impfdosen, denn auch die Länder des Nordens könnten an COVAX teilnehmen, sagt Fatima Hassan.
There's no pricing transparency or contract disclosure. We're now aware that there are forfeiture fees and other forms of penalties, but those are not being disclosed. The New York Times has called COVAX a big black box because it's not very transparent. It hasn't as yet raised the full funding target for all low-income countries. And this is, I think, the crisis point, which is why the WHO has now actually come out in support of the waiver and is saying that we need to urgently scale up manufacturing capacity through tech transfer, is that the supply targets and forecasts issued by COVAX, because of the limited supplies available in the global market, cannot cover quarter one needs.
Und wie schnell wird es mit den Impfungen, insbesondere in den ärmeren Ländern, vorangehen?
By the end of quarter one of 2021, it's estimating that it can only cover about 3% of low-income countries' needs, and that by the end of this year, 2021, it's only likely to cover 27% of vulnerable populations in all low-income countries. And so that is scandalous. I mean, that is devastating, which is why the WHO has actually asked for a relaxation of the patent regime, as well as people like Dr. Tony Fauci, the Vatican, the African Union, the UNAIDS, a number of world leaders and authorities will also be speaking on multiple rallies on the 11th of March to mark the one-year declaration of the pandemic, are saying we've got to relax the patent regime, we've got to immediately stop the hoarding and start sharing technology.
Schließlich kommt Fatima Hassan auf die Lage in Südafrika zu sprechen.
Given all of this crisis, given our HIV/AIDS history, we're at the point where we have still not started a full vaccination program. We have started vaccinating healthcare workers through a study program, which is being supported by Johnson & Johnson and Sasonke. And we still need to finalize the deals with a number of different suppliers, as well as trying to get supplies from COVAX. But the curveball around our own vaccination program and the COVAX supplies that were meant to be coming to South Africa is our variant. And that variant has meant that our government has now paused the AstraZeneca rollout, given some of the issues around the data relating to the efficacy of the AstraZeneca vaccine for the South Africa variant.
Abschließend spricht Fatima Hassan die globale Dimension bei den COVID-19-Impfungen an.
And this is the reason there needs to be a sense of urgency in the world, because the longer it takes to vaccinate, you know, everybody around the world, if that's going to take multiple years, you're going to have more variants and you're going to create vaccine resistance, even amongst populations that are already vaccinated. So you may get your vaccine in Austria, but that's not necessarily going to keep you safe and effective if variants are still being discovered in South Africa while, you know, millions of people in Africa are not being vaccinated. If we want to wrap up, I'd like to just take you to the point about the waiver in Doha and this new wave three, which is what we call the WTO way. And the WHO has now come up and said they've got their own way and they're going to be meeting with manufacturing companies this week. So it seems like we have four different ways. What I'd like to actually emphasize is that wave one, which is the waiver, and wave two, which is Doha, is actually within the rules of the WTO infrastructure. And so this attempt to try and have this voluntary cooperative kind of way of trying to secure supplies in the middle of a pandemic when we've got an epidemiological crisis on our hands, for us, it's just bizarre. It just doesn't make sense at all. And that's why the demands of health groups around the world are two things: that pharmaceutical companies now really have to share their technological know-how by also joining the WHO CTAPS, which is a voluntary pool technology sharing mechanism, and that governments must stop blocking the attempt to suspend patent rules at the WTO for vaccines and health technologies during the pandemic. We really have to break the monopolies, because we've learned from the HIV/AIDS crisis that you can't guarantee access if you're only going to rely on benevolence and charity and no transparency. And there's really been a lack of pharmaceutical company transparency, not just in terms of the pricing, but also in relation to the contracts with all of these different companies, as well as COVAX and the AU Vaccine Acquisition Task Team.
Impftechnologien sollen unbedingt miteinander geteilt werden, so die wichtige Botschaft von Fatima Hassan im Rahmen des Webinars vom 9. März 2021. Moderator Werner Ratzer stellt nach Hassans Keynote-Speech die folgende Frage.
COVAX is still lacking resources, financial means, and it is still competing with the governments in rich countries in terms of making agreements with the pharmaceutical producers. When you look at COVAX, it seems to me, at least, in the very short term, it is the only game in town, so to say. It's the only mechanism with all its problems and deficiencies that has the ability to increase supplies of vaccines for countries in the global south. Even if you agree with the TRIPS waiver, and even if we support the TRIPS waiver, I would suppose that it will take some time in order to ramp up production, say, by pharmaceutical companies in India and many other countries under a free regime of access to patents. So in the meantime, it's basically COVAX that is the only mechanism to increase the supply of vaccines to the global south. Would you agree to that opinion, or would you also see alternatives, even in the very short term, in order to increase supplies of vaccines in the global south?
You know, South Africa has Aspen Pharmacare. It's one of the leading supplier of generic HIV, TB, and malaria drugs, and that's because of the work we did around access to ARVs in the early 2000s. We also have a state, you know, public-private partnership company called BioVax, which is pre-selected by COVAX, which was meant to get a manufacturing deal, but didn't. So there's two issues. The one is, had the companies actually authorized multiple manufacturing licenses by late 2020, we would be in a different situation. But the second is that you could ramp up with a little bit of investment, particularly the manufacturing of mRNA technologies and those kind of vaccines. So the NIH Moderna vaccine is important within the space of a few months. And that's certainly the demand that US activists and groups in the US have been making around the Biden administration to extend the use of the Defense Production Act in the US beyond just the US borders. But South Africa, for example, Johnson & Johnson has given Aspen Pharmacare a fill and finish license. So there's definitely existing capacity for fill and finishing if these companies would actually voluntarily or be compelled to do this. And that's why the waiver is important. But if we're going to have to wait much longer for the waiver, more people are going to die. So in the absence of the waiver, we need our governments to take compulsory measures against drug companies. And also to wage a moral campaign against drug companies in the middle of a pandemic, you would still make profit. You still get a royalty on every generic or on every other version of the vaccine, you know, that you're making. You don't lose your intellectual property monopoly rights in that sense. So you still stand to make a lot of money. It's just unbelievable that only when the EU had a supply crisis, then, you know, AstraZeneca decided to give a license to Novartis and to Sanofi, right, who are usually competitors. And now Merck is going to be doing fill and finishing for Johnson & Johnson. So when the EU has a supply crisis, then people realize that there's an urgency to find new partners, and they found it, and they found existing capacity. But when those kind of access issues are happening in the global south, then we get the argument that there's no manufacturing capacity, it will take a long time, there isn't ability. And so I think there's just a bit of, you know, evidence that we need to provide and also deal with some of the double standards inherent in that. Thanks.
Dazu ergänzt Carlos Correa.
At the UN, the Secretary General of the United Nations in April last year made a statement: vaccines and other products for COVID-19 should be treated as global public goods. And this terminology, in fact, was used at the World Health Assembly in September, where President Macron, for instance, from France, he mentioned the need to ensure universal access. The concept of global public good was used by the President of China, by the Chancellor of Germany.
Diese Auffassung habe sich aber nicht durchgesetzt, sagt Carlos Correa, und gibt einen möglichen Ausblick in die Zukunft.
Maybe one situation that may arise if a waiver is not accepted or other tools mitigate the impact of intellectual property is not subject to a consensus and a solution. So maybe in the future you may have this reaction. So if it is not possible to work under the system, we need to change the system as such. So this may happen in the future. And then maybe the civil society may play a role in clarifying what the current issues are and making the point, if it is not possible, then to work within the system to mitigate the negative impacts, there is a need to change it.
On the one hand, it seems to me that we are living through a severe crisis of global cooperation, where COVAX is not working properly, the WTO is not living up to its commitment to stick to its own rules because of the resistance of rich countries. So what we see in a way is a continuation, if not deepening, of the crisis of global cooperation. While on the other hand, we see that countries like Russia and in particular China providing a certain amount of support, at least in terms of also providing vaccines and other treatments to countries in the global south. Carlos, would you see that this crisis is in a way a point that opens up alternative venues also in terms of the trajectory for international cooperation in the future? And would you see something like a renewed sense of, say, solidarity between countries in the global south in terms of promoting forms of south-south cooperation? So it seemed to be that perhaps 20 years ago, we've seen a certain wave of South-South cooperation, which has then ebbed, but perhaps might reemerge as a consequence of this incredible form of lack of solidarity from Europe and other OECD countries.
Yeah, that's correct. But in fact, South-South cooperation has increased a lot during the last 20 years. So it has not gone down, but it has expanded in scope, has expanded in activities. So cooperation is very dynamic, is covering many areas.
Es könnte angesichts der Pandemie zu mehr Süd-Süd-Kooperation kommen, so Carlos Correa. Internationale Solidarität sollte auch auf UNO-Ebene nicht nur diskutiert werden.
We see in many developed countries, in the European Union, United States, etc., what has been called this vaccine nationalism and not the solidarity. The COVAX is also an example. The ambition of the World Organization through COVAX was to ensure that at least 20% of the population of all countries could get vaccination as soon as possible. But COVAX today, in the absence of a real multilateral system that supports its action, is really competing with the governments, which are making bilateral agreements with the companies, whether in China, Russia, Moderna, whatever, in order to get vaccines. This means that the international solidarity has failed. We didn't get that. And then, as you are suggesting, this could be a good example in which you may have a strengthened South-South cooperation. This may happen. to the extent that more facilities are established, in, for instance, Brazil has announced a big plan for production of vaccines.
Sagt Carlos Correa abschließend. Das war C3 Radio. In der heutigen Ausgabe haben wir von der Online-Veranstaltung COVID-19 and Global Vaccine Inequality – Views from the Global South berichtet, die am 9. März 2021 stattgefunden hat. Abschließende Hinweise. Wer sich über die COVAX-Initiative informieren möchte, kann das zum Beispiel auf der Website der World Health Organization tun, www.who.int. Über das South Center, für das Carlos Correa tätig ist, informiert man sich auf www.southcenter.int. Zu Fatima Hassans Health Justice Initiative gibt es diese Webseite, www.healthjusticeinitiative.org.za. C3 Radio gibt es jeden zweiten Mittwoch im Monat um 18.30 Uhr auf Radio Orange 94.0 und ständig als Podcast auf c3radio.potspot.de. Folgen Sie bitte der ÖFSE und C3 Radio auf Facebook. Informationen zu allen Angeboten im C3-Zentrum für internationale Entwicklung in der Sensengasse 3 in Wien, auch zur C3-Bibliothek, gibt es auf www.zentrum3.at. Auf Wiederhören sagt Jürgen Planck. C3 Radio aus dem Zentrum für internationale Entwicklung. Mit den Organisationen Baobab, Frauensolidarität, Mattersburger Kreis, ÖFSE und Paulo Freire Zentrum. Weitere Informationen und Podcast auf www.zentrum3.at.